Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. James Lamb joins us for about 10 minutes here. We're still in the season, crossing over right as we speak from Christmas to Epiphany. And Epiphany is an extension in some ways of the Christmas season, wherein we remember the incarnation of our Lord. In fact, we've been remembering the incarnation. If we want to be really strict about this, we've been remembering the incarnation since March 25th in the church. Because the incarnation doesn't start on December 25th, where the church observes the birth of Christ. The incarnation, technically speaking, and this is a rather important point, begins 9 months earlier, if you want to count back from December 25th, to the Annunciation and the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Dr. James Lamb joins us. You can as well, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life based in Nevada, Iowa. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy Epiphany to you and your listeners.
And to you as well. Someone's going to say, look, all these life issues, they're moral issues, abortion, euthanasia, things like this. But there is no theology at stake. These are just political, social issues.
Well, for the Christian, we need to understand that when something labeled an issue, or a political issue or a moral issue, when it attacks life, as abortion does, assisted suicide, embryonic stem cell research, these kinds of things that attack life, you're also attacking then the author of life. You're attacking the Lord of life. You're attacking the one who assumed life in the womb to redeem life. And so we have a God who is very, very much pro-life. And we have a message in the gospel that is very, very pro-life and speaks to these issues and speaks to people who are dealing with them and struggling with them. The life issues are much more than political. They're spiritual issues. And we've got the good news that people need, that we as Christians need to understand, speaks to these issues, and we need to speak it to them.
How important is this teaching of the incarnation, that God becomes human flesh in a very miraculous and yet, in other ways, ordinary way, an ordinary woman's womb, ordinary gestation, ordinary birth? How important is all of this to a Christian's fullest understanding of why life deserves protection from beginning to end?
It's incredibly important because, as I said, attacking life attacks the author of life, and our life begins at the very moment of conception, and Scripture is clear that we're sinful from that moment because we're human from that moment. And so we needed a Savior who would assume our flesh, our humanity, not just from birth, but from His very conception. And that's why the Incarnation is so very, very important in understanding the tremendous value that God gives to human life from the very beginning of human life, that He would empty Himself and assume flesh from that very beginning. He needed to develop in the womb just like we did, and He did. The miracle of the Incarnation is the conception of Jesus Christ. No sperm, just Mary's egg, and the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, and the power of God at work. There was the miracle, and from then on, He developed as we did, and in our place, if you would, a holy conception and a holy development and a holy birth taking the place of our unclean conception and development and birth.
So the two,
tremendously important.
This is not just an issue of biology or of theology. The two are brought together and inextricably bound together in the conception, birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, they are. I tell folks, you know, when we say in the creed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, we're not only attesting to the divinity of Christ there, but we're attesting to our humanity at that very moment. And Christ assumed our humanity in order to redeem us, and to assume our humanity, he had to go through the biological process that we went through. Can't separate them.
I want to talk a little bit with you about, you've mentioned several times the good news here, and the good news of Christ's substitutionary life death for all of us. What does this good news say to someone, a couple, who have, through their own weakness or through terrible information, have succumbed to the temptation and engaged in something that has destroyed life, for instance, abortion?
Well, it says to them that they too have a Savior, because Christ came for all people. You know, the good news to the shepherds. It's good news to them. Unto you is born. So it can be very personal, but it's for all the people. You know, a Savior who was conceived in a womb and developed in a womb, a Savior who was born and laid in a manger, is a Savior for all people. And he came to redeem sinners. And as Paul says, and as I can say, I am the chief. And so the salvation won by Christ doesn't measure the kind of sin or the size of sin. He came to cleanse from all sin. And through faith in him, that cleansing, that forgiveness is available to everyone. And it's especially powerful, I've found, in dealing with people as it speaks to those who have sinned against life and taken life and come to realize that. And that burden can be so great. And this message speaks so powerfully. And one of the powerful things of the message that I find in sharing it with women and men involved in an abortion, for example, is that it's objective, because these folks, it's very hard for them to feel forgiven sometimes. They feel like this is too big to be forgiven, and they can't forgive themselves. And to be able to share the fact that this forgiveness doesn't depend upon how you, whether you feel forgiven or not, it forgives. Christ has forgiven. He's paid the price. And I found sharing that to be wonderfully comforting for men, women, couples in that position.
Two final questions, Dr.
Yep.
Lamb. We have just, we're facing here within the next couple of weeks, the inauguration of perhaps the most pro-choice president the United States has had, and many people who are interested in defending life from beginning to end are feeling discouraged, and they're feeling very discouraged about the prospect for the future. What is your word of encouragement to Christian pro-lifers and others who are facing perhaps the next 4 or 8 years with very little progress on the docket?
I think we need to understand what's happened, and that, yeah, there's bad news coming ahead, bad times ahead, in terms of executive orders, undoubtedly, that will overturn some pro-life measures and protections for life. Those things are coming, and we need to be aware of those and concerned about those, speak to those. But the encouragement comes because of what it is we speak as Christian pro-life folks. We're applying God's word to these issues, this good news that the angels proclaimed. And so our message is not going to change. And indeed, perhaps more Christians have received a wake-up call that we do need to be a voice. We have a powerful voice on these issues. And as we apply the good news to them, that good news will be at work, and that power is not going to be changed. And the need for attaching the gospel and speaking the good news of the gospel to these issues is going to remain the same, no matter who's in what office. So our weaponry, so to speak, is not losing its power at all. We need to keep proclaiming it.
Then finally, with less than a minute, Life Sunday's coming up later this month. How would you respond to someone who says a pastor simply shouldn't deal with issues like abortion, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia from the pulpit? 30 seconds.
Only 30 seconds. this news is simply too good because it speaks to life. It speaks to life and death matters. It speaks to people who are struggling, trying to make God-pleasing decisions. It speaks to people, as we said, who've made mistakes. There's no greater, more powerful pro-life message than the gospel. And so not only can we share it and apply it to these issues, I believe we in the church are compelled to do that. And Life Sunday coming up gives a great opportunity to do that. Lutheransforlife.org will give you some information on materials that we have to share.
Folks, we'll post a link to some Life Sunday resources at issuesetc.org. Click on demand for those resources. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. Jim, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Tomorrow on the program, we will begin a five-part weekly series with Scott Klusendorf on defending the pro-life position. When we come back, a chance for you to play Name That Church Body. How does it work? It's very simple. All our games are very simple. We're simple men here at Lutheran Public Radio. We're going to play some audio from a leader of a church body in the United States. And we're going to ask you, based upon what this leader has to say in those audio clips, to name that church body. And you do so by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email your suggestion for what church body is being spoken of here, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So it's Name That Church Body on the other side of this break. Then in hour two, we'll talk about the wise men with Dr. Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.